guess who's back? Back again. Great Writers Steel. Podcasty type video initiative. Today, very cool show coming up. We have an interview. An interesting kind of interview with Laurel Gilbert. A friend. A great writer. We're going to talk about one of her stories, and you can follow along. This story is online. Check for a link in the description. After we put that story on the couch, we will reveal today's great indie bookstore of the day. It's a great little story, you'll love it. We'll talk about the book you should buy, and do your better Noah Buckeye. All the normal stuff. So sit back, pour yourself a color teeny, because it's all coming up after this.
Hello, friends of the Empire. Do you have long days on the Death Star? Do you wonder if you'll ever see your families again, what with all of the horrible actions of those terrible rebels? Well, you'll find that on level 42G of the Death Star is the Death Star Bookshop. You'll find titles there that will keep your mind off of the horrible things that happened on Hoth and to the previous Death Star. Titles include Catch 22 Jedi, A Farewell to Luke's Arm, One Flew Over the Wookiee's Nest, and the classic, To Kill a Bantha Herd. So remember, next time you need a story, come on down to the Death Star Bookshop. Thank you.
We like to try new things out here at Grey Writer Steel. We like to enjoy new ideas, and I'm trying to figure out how to get other people involved. Cool writers you know, cool writers you don't know, writers you should know. Well, I talked with Laurel Gilbert, but I didn't just want to talk with her about one of her stories. Instead, I put her story on the couch. That's right, I'm using all of my no training to be a psychologist. Psychiatrist, if you will. To help figure out what is going on in her story. In this case, it is Cave In by Laurel Gilbert. You'll find a link in the description of the video. I highly advise you to go find it. So you'll have a better understanding of how Laurel Gilbert's experience can help you with your own. All right, here's our session. It's Cave In by Laurel Gilbert on the couch. So, Laurel, welcome to my office. You are here today because of Cave In, because of the story Cave In. How are you feeling about that today?
Well, where should I start? Let's see. I was approached by a student. It was a former student who wanted to put together an online literary project, and that's this Catalina project. And so he approached me and wanted a story written, and what he was doing was, you know, hooking up writers, or at least the story that the writer wrote, and then giving it to an illustrator who would do illustrations for the story. Well, if you've seen the illustrations for the story, they really didn't match anything. They didn't look the way that I thought it would look in my head. But, you know, on the other hand, that's probably, you know, a really useful thing for a writer to go through, because it's kind of like doing a play, you know, where you write a play or you write a screenplay, and especially with a play, you've got to give it to a director. And then the director has to figure out how to make it look and how to make it work. I don't know.
Well, should it bother you to want to lose control?
As a writer.
As a writer?
You know, actually, that's a really interesting question, because I started by writing plays, and so I was very much, I mean, it was just built into the process that you'd write a play and then you'd turn it over to somebody else.
Fascinating, fascinating. So, well, we begin, the story begins with 10-year-old Chastity digging.
Yeah.
She seems to enjoy digging.
She's digging.
Why does she want to escape, but seemingly fears going off with her mother?
Well, I don't think of her mother as all that great a figure. You know, Chastity's sort of been... She's ended up living with her grandmother for a while.
Those are my hunting dogs.
Shut up! Sorry. I don't know. I mean, the story started because of the digging. Because when I was a little kid, we had, you know, a friend of mine who lived next door. And it was her grandmother that lived next door, and she didn't live with her grandmother, but she came and visited a lot. And her grandfather had a big, you know, gravel and dirt pile that we would dig through, and we would do all kinds of, you know, cave digging.
Fascinating, fascinating. And I notice in the second paragraph of the story, you omit the conjunction in one of the sentences, something that a lot of people are doing.
Which one?
You best shut up, Nana yelled from the doorstep, put her cigarette down, comma, covered the cordless with her hand. What were you going for with that?
with which part?
With omitting
all the quotation marks.
Why not include the word and? And covered the cordless with her hand.
Oh, I like the rhythm. I use and a fair amount, but in this story, and I went through this story too and took out a ton of words.
Okay.
I mean, I write long, as you may or may not recall. I, you know, rattle out 30 pages pretty quick, and one of the most useful things that I think I do, at least, to my writing is to go through and just, like, cut stuff out like nobody's business.
Well, I did notice that later in the story, I noted the diction that you were employing. A little bit lower, a little bit more perhaps appropriate to the setting of the story.
Yeah.
To the characters. Why did you make that choice?
Give me an example.
For example, in the paragraph beginning, these kids, Nana hoisted her body.
Oh, yeah.
It seemed to me not to be uneducated diction in that paragraph, but a little bit lower than we might see in other writing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is, you know, it is a little kid sort of stuck in a trailer park with her grandmother. I mean, I love dialogue, and I love how people talk.
Well,
and that's, you know, Chastity Ann might go live with Della now. She's getting to be that age.
Well, that brings me to another question.
What
do you?
It's time for a girl to be with her mama.
What do you think Chastity will grow up to be?
Well, you know, I don't know. I hope she ends up a little bit better off than her mama does. But, you know, she's a girl that's kind of stuck. I mean, she's a little girl, and she's going to get sent off to her mom because she's now not a little girl anymore. And that's kind of sad because, I don't know. There's that last line that Nana says to her at the very end. You know, I'm the one falling down there worried about digging in a mud puddle. And then she says, she sprays Chastity, you know, with water. And she gets her all muddy and damages, you know, kills that whole great big pile. And she says the last thing that she says to Chastity is, you're too old to be getting dirty anyway. Which I sort of think has a lot of connotations, especially since, you know, Della's not a very good mama. So, I don't know, if Chastity goes off and lives with her mama, she's probably not going to have an easy time of it, don't you think?
No, I would. It's more about what you think. It's more about what you think.
Yeah. Well, I think Chastity's kind of screwed.
Okay. Speaking of the, toward the end of the story, the climax of the story seems to be in the longest paragraph when Nana destroys what Chastity has been building.
Yeah.
Why did you devote so much page space to that paragraph?
Are you talking about the one that starts without a word?
Right. What were you hoping to accomplish?
Huh. Well, first of all, you know, Chastity's building, I mean, she's sort of being a little architect. She's doing architecture, and she's building an imaginary space for imaginary people. which was something that I and my friend did as a kid all the time. You know, we had sort of like, this is where the people will do this, and this is where the people will do this. And so that's what chastity is doing. And then, you know, Nana comes along kind of like a vengeful god with a giant hose and basically floods this little imaginary, you know, civilization that chastity has been, you know, building. And chastity, there's at the end of that paragraph, she almost dropped the cordless but didn't, twisted around and righted herself, and the stream of water lurched and sprayed wildly across the front of Chastity's t-shirt, up the side of the dirt pile, carving catastrophic trenches through the terraces, washing away the quartz, etc., etc., etc. And there's that part in the story earlier on where Chastity's brother, you know, they're sort of teasing her because she's becoming a woman. I mean, this is, you know, sort of deep digging into the story, but, you know, and so when Nana sprays the water and is sort of doing this vengeful god thing on all of these little, you know, imaginary critters that are living in the giant dirt pile, you know, she also sort of highlights the fact that Chastity is becoming a young woman, and therefore, you know, there's this question of what is Chastity going to go on and make? You know, and is she going to be able to build cities, or is she going to kind of turn out like Della, who, you know, can't even take care of her own kid?
Fascinating, fascinating. Like many people, you didn't put the dialogue in quotation marks. Instead, you did it in italics. Well, what were you hoping to accomplish?
I don't know. I was playing around with it. I mean, I put almost everything in quotation marks unless a character is referring to something another character said. You know, so if I've got, like, in the book I'm working on now, if a character is remembering or telling another character what another character previously said, then I'll do it in italics. And in this one, I was just playing around.
Okay, very cool, I guess. Well, you mentioned, we're running out of time, but you did mention you're working on a book. Do you feel like telling me a little bit about that?
Well, it's a really, you know, it's an old book. It's been 15 years in the making, and hopefully it's just finishing up right now. So, you know, when it gets finished, you know, Dr. Nichols, I will absolutely bring her on over to you, and you can, you know, give her whatever advice you like.
15 years, how does that make you feel?
Terrible.
Oh, I don't know, isn't life all about the journey instead of the destination?
Well, I suppose, but it'd be easier to be about the journey if I had, you know, $20,000 a year in a room of my own.
I see. Well, we are out of time. Our hour is up. I need to go to the golf course or whatever psychologists do.
Right.
So I will see you next week.
All right, well, thank you very much.
I am the only bookseller. Resistance is futile. Your book buying as it has been is over. From this time forward, you will shop with us for books and garden hoses and cars and aerators for your faucets.
That's right, folks. We need more than one place to buy books. We need indie bookstores, and every town should have one. That's the truth. Oswego, New York is lucky to have the River's End Bookstore, located at 19 West Bridge Street, right on the corner. Yes, you'll find all the new books that that you're looking for, and the staff is always happy to order the ones you don't have. Perhaps best of all, the bookstore is located about a 3-minute walk from Lake Ontario, an incredibly beautiful place. But perhaps the very best part of the River's End Bookstore are the people who work there. The owners are always very nice. The other workers are always very helpful. And unfortunately, they make you buy books. They don't make you. They convince you to buy books you didn't even know you need, which I suppose is the mark of a great bookstore. There's a nice little place for the children to sit and read their books as they figure out what they'd like. The River's End Bookstore also has a robust listing of events. Go ahead and check out their website, www.riversendbookstore.com, to see who is appearing and when. You never know when one of your favorite writers or a friend you didn't know was coming into town will be in the bookstore, signing books, doing a reading. So please, please check that out. And remember, we do need more than one place to buy books.
Book you should.
Book you should.
Book you should.
Book you should buy. This week's book you should buy is a personal favorite from one of my favorite authors, T.C. Boyle, Stories 2. Yes, the gentleman has written so many great stories that he has put out another giant brick of a book. The book came out last year in October, but you can find it anywhere, including Rivers End Bookstore in Oswego, New York. Through the course of 918 pages, you will read all kinds of stories about all kinds of people, and that's what I love most about T.C. Boyle. The stories are not the same. He doesn't work with the same settings, the same people, the same themes, really. Although, you know, he's a human, so the same things will kind of impact his psyche. He is just a pure storyteller, and your bookshelf really, really needs to have this book on it. Even if he's not your favorite, that's okay. You're still going to learn a lot from him and his work. So check that out. T.C. Boyle's Stories 2. I'm going to put the New York Times review into the description. And you can also find links to purchase it from your local independents. And you should go do that. Very cool.
O-H! I-O! O-H! I-O! Go Bucks!
Do you know Michael Cardos? Not personally, although I'm sure that's a good time, but his writing. I had a wonderful experience with his writing when I was in graduate school at Ohio State. I was reviewing a copy of Crazy Horse, I believe it was. And I read this story and I said, wow, this is a fantastic story. You know, I made all kinds of great notes. I was going to feature it in my review. And I only found out a little bit later that the author was one of my Ohio State compatriot fellow colleague predecessors. It was a wonderful experience because I loved what he did, not knowing that there was some kind of school connection. And when I picked up his book, The 3-Day Affair, I just grew to love his writing even more. The book's fantastic. It was published in 2012 by the Mysterious Press, an imprint of Grove Atlantic, and it's definitely a book that you should check out. It's a mystery, but it's also very, very entertaining. Some people don't think that genre is something that we can respect as much as quote-unquote literary work, but The 3-Day Affair is just a fantastic read, the kind of book that we all enjoy. What should you know about Mr. Cardos? Well, he is an associate professor and co-director of the Creative Writing Program at Mississippi State. He even got a PhD, so he's smarter than most of us, definitely smarter than me. Got that at the University of Missouri. And he has a new book coming out, 2015. Mark your calendars, Before He Finds Her. It's another mystery. I have not read The Galleys. I've not... Well, who am I? That's why I wouldn't read it, The Galleys. Perhaps I'll review it on Great Writer's Steel. But the book's going to be great, so check that out. You can also check out his Press 53 book, One Last Good Time. These are some of his short stories, including the one from Crazy Horse that knocked me out. There's links in the description, so if you don't know Michael Cardos, go ahead and check him out. Well, that's all we have for today. I want to thank Laurel Gilbert for being so giving with that interview. I want to thank Rivers End Bookstore for being around. And remember, Shakespeare did it, and so should you.